This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, Falcoholics. What is up? Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Birds of Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, joined by a wonderful guest. He is back, Bryce Lewis, at Brycey_2K on the Twitter X, whatever they're calling it these days. He is the host of the Believe in Hawks podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, just like myself. And also, you're still producing over there at, I always forget the four letters. I feel like I'll mess it up. But over there in South Carolina, right?
Yeah. Just got up here 7 months ago. So yeah, I'm in South Carolina now, so I'm a bit closer to Georgia, a bit closer to home.
Yep. Nice. Well, hope that's all going well. And Bryce is going to join the show today. We're going to break down a lot that's happened since Bryce has last been on. We're going to get into sort of our just overall take on the offseason. Trying to have a lot of different opinions on here because I know the opinions have varied quite wildly on, of course, Michael Penix and the Falcons offseason as a whole, the draft picks. As we get into the summer here, we're going to break it all down. Before we dive in real quick, folks, want to bring you word from our sponsor, as always, betonline.ag. Folks, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and the NHL playoffs this season. They've got every stat, every matchup, and even live odds when the games are being played. When the game's over, you can head on over to their unique online casino and get in on a game of blackjack. That's my weakness, so you know I gotta stay away. But poker as well, for those of you that enjoy that. You can unwind with one of their over 150 online slot games. You can also, you know, I was just saying on the previous episode, if you had put money on, you know, the Hawks getting the number one pick in the NBA draft, you'd probably be a rich man. But you should never bet on NBA draft odds, to be clear. But if you had this one time, it could have worked out for us. But Yeah. Don't do it, though.
Take food off the table doing that.
Yeah. Don't do that, though. Yeah, don't do that. But head to the website today, guys, betonline.ag, to get in on the action. Don't forget to use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. All right, Bryce. Well, it's been a busy offseason. It's slowed down a little bit now, but let's get to the first things first. Obviously, we have Raheem coming in. We have Zach Robinson coming in. We have Jimmy Lake coming in. Big change at the top and then massive change at the quarterback position with the Falcons signing Kirk Cousins and then getting Michael Penix in the building. But let's start at the top with the coaching staff and the Kirk Cousins decision. You know, how do you sort of feel about the direction of the team now that we've got all these new faces in the building here?
I feel good about it. I was someone who's a fan for him when we hired him. You know, I think sometimes people forget he was a head coach when he was really young, different time. What he was trying to win with was that the Josh Johnson era? Was that before Freeman or after Freeman?
It was Freeman, and then Freeman, I think, got hurt or something like that. But yeah, he did the 1 year he went to the playoffs. It was with Freeman, I think. So
yeah, okay. So yeah, I mean, he Tampa Bay at that time was a different team. It was a different place. He was new. He was still fresh, and you know, wasn't, you know, didn't have those certain experiences that maybe you would have liked the guy to have at that time. And you know, he learned from that. You know, he came back to the Falcons as a coach on both sides, learned a lot in his time there. So he's familiar with the city, familiar with the organization, familiar with some of the media. So this isn't a guy who's like, we have no idea. People have an idea. And I think that familiarity can be great, especially for some of the players as well. And then, you know, you get to the point where he hires the staff, you know, Zach Robinson, a guy a lot of people are excited about, think he may become that next great offensive play caller. And then obviously if that works out, he could become a head coach in 2 years. So, which I mean, could be a, you know, we can get into that topic, but
we're going to save that depressing reality. I mean, it would be probably good because that means the Falcons offense would be good, but also bad because we lose our offense coordinator. But, you know, that we'll save that for next summer because we're going to need the content, I'm sure. So,
yeah, definitely, man. So like, I'm feeling great. And then Jimmy Lake, I know he was the one that people kind of questioned out of everybody because there just wasn't a lot on him. We knew he coached at Washington. Obviously he's familiar with one of the draft picks that we drafted this year in Trice. And I think realistically, I feel good about that. I think we have a really solid coaching staff put in place. They obviously, coming from the Rams, he saw that structure and that program, you know, and says, I want to have something similar to that. Can't exactly be that, but something similar to that, but with an Atlanta twist on it. And now I think, you know, he feels like, I feel like I put something really good together from that point. And then obviously the big thing they wanted to address was the quarterback position. They had got Kirk Cousins. I know a lot of people leading up to that was like Justin Fields, let's trade up. But then we also had to look at the challenges of that. Justin Fields, well, if he doesn't work out, you're still back where you started with a weak quarterback class next year. You trade up, you give it away your future's assets for a guy that you hope is going to be good. You have no idea if he's going to be good. So you could also set you back. And one thing I think Raheem definitely wanted is he wanted stability. Yeah. And the most stable option you had available was Kirk Cousins. Like, at the end of the day, regardless of what you think about him, he's not a terrible quarterback. Like, you know, you're at least going to get a good quarterback in Kirk Cousins. You know, now we can question his playoff success. We can go into things. And if you dive into that, some of that is like, Kirk Cousins hasn't had the greatest defenses while he's been in the playoffs. So he's had to go through that. But at the end of the day, the record is what it is. So I think realistically with the quarterback situation, I think we are in a good place with him there. I think he could help these guys like Kyle Pitts, Drake London, you know, Bijan Robinson, even Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore, who I think is a sleeper on the offense this year, really, you know, be able to excel whatever the role is that they're given within this offense, take that next step and have this offense. I mean, this offense under Arthur Smith moved the ball. They just didn't score points. Now they're trying to put it all together with Zach Robinson, this offense, and Kirk Cousins, where they score points and move the ball and then become one of the best offenses. And I said, you know, maybe this offense, them, they could get it close to, even though that's a historic offense, that 2016 Falcons offense, you know, that's a good start.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this offense, I think, has the potential that we really haven't had lately. And I certainly hope that we fulfill that potential. You know, I'm really excited to see that. And look, we got a long way to go to get there, but I certainly like the pieces that have been assembled here. I like what we've seen early on. I'm also a big fan of Raheem, and I think he was one of the better coaches they could have hired. He was in my top three from the beginning. I was definitely interested in some of the hot young offensive coordinators, neither of which ended up leaving their respective teams, you know, with Ben Sloak, Bobby Sloak, excuse me, was my number one, and Ben Johnson was my number two. And then I think Raheem was my third because it's, you know, I like the story, obviously, of him coming back. I think he's a guy that has deserved another opportunity. And I think that his familiarity with the team and, you know, we haven't had that CEO coach in a while now, where we had Dan Quinn come in to be the defensive, you know, the de facto defensive coordinator and fix the defense. Then we had Arthur Smith come in to be the de facto offensive coordinator and fix the offense, which I was a big proponent of that move. Didn't end up working out super great. But the last time we really had a CEO type coach, I think, was Mike Smith. And, you know, Mike Smith, obviously the most successful coach in Falcons history overall. And that approach ended up working out pretty well. We did see some of the downsides of that, obviously, over time. But ultimately, you know, I think going with the CEO head coach. It's not something that a lot of teams do nowadays, but it can work if you have the coaching pipeline. And that's one of the, I think, the big things about Raheem in particular is that because he's been in the league for so long, he has the experience. He has the network. He has the group that he can draw upon in terms of coaching candidates is just absolutely ludicrous. I mean, the number of guys that he knows, the number of connections he has, the relationships he can draw on to fill out a coaching staff for years and years, even, that gives you quite a bit of faith that, you know, say good things do happen to the Falcons. They are a playoff team. They are maybe even a contender over the next several years. And Zach Robinson draws the eye of the NFL pretty quickly, and he's out of here in 2 or 3 years. You know, Raheem is working on a pipeline of guys that hopefully he can elevate and we can continue to have success, you know, both on both sides of the ball, even depending on how Jimmy Lake does as well. So that gives me some hope, you know, even though I've typically been a proponent of that. Like, you need an offensive head coach that's going to run your offense, because otherwise you're going to lose him in 2 years if all your hopes and dreams do come true. So we'll have to see how that pans out. But yeah, I agree with you. The Kirk move, I think, was one of the smarter moves they could have made to solidify quarterback, because it was either that or gamble on Justin Fields or expend massive resources in the draft. And it seems like there wasn't a realistic shot of getting into the top three. I don't think any of those teams really were interested. You know, the Patriots apparently were asking for astronomical compensation to move off of three, which leads, you know, which basically tells you they didn't want to move. And then, you know, instead the Falcons, instead of moving up, they go with Kirk Cousins, and they go with Michael Penix at eight, which I did not believe the reports that they were interested in him at eight. I believe that that was a smokescreen, that they were interested in him, but they were maybe hoping to trade back up for him. Instead, it was the opposite. They were actually interested in him at eight, and they wanted to trade back up for a defensive player. But how shocked were you when that Penix pick came down? I know, you know, our live show, I actually saw it leaked by mistake because I was checking to see if they had traded. And then, of course, the pick was leaked super early, which is weird for a pick that shocking. But yeah, what did you think about that move on draft night, and how have you processed it since then?
When it initially happened, Kevin, I was shocked, but I wasn't upset. I wasn't happy. I wasn't upset. I was more just, I felt like I was conflicted. Like I didn't know, like, I was just like, what's the thinking here? Like, what is the plan? And then obviously as the plan got more laid out over time, you know, I kind of feel like I kind of grew on it now. Cause I think Michael Penix has been a guy who I think through this draft process, a lot of people liked. I never really saw a lot of negative on him outside of just, if you trust his health, that's about it. Like, pretty much from an actual quarterback perspective, some people called him the best pure thrower in this draft. People just loved his ability to throw the football. And, you know, even though he may have not been in the top three for and like Drake and, you know, Jaden and Caleb, I mean, people felt like he definitely has franchise slash quarter starting quarterback potential. So, you know, when the Falcons made that pick and then, you know, Raheem and Terry explained it, I kind of understood. Like, what they're doing is just different. It's different, and so since it's different, we don't have evidence of if this is good or not. We only have the closest thing is like a team taking a player in the back of the first round, and may already having a quarterback on the roster, a la Packers. That's the biggest comparison, even though some people feel like these situations are still a little bit different. Because, you know, the Falcons really could become trendsetters if Kirk Cousins does well, eventually moves on, Penix comes in, and then he ends up being a franchise quarterback. This is going to change the mindset. Well, if your team who has a quarterback but have a chance to already get another quarterback very, very high in the draft for whatever reason, why you have a high draft pick, maybe you should just go ahead and take one of the top quarterbacks in that draft. Just to go ahead and already have them on there. So it's not like one of those decisions you got to make 2 years later, because their biggest thing was if we're going to be what we expect to be, because this is also just a lot of confidence in what they think they're going to become. We're going to be maybe in the 20s when that time comes when we have to find Kurt. And there's no guarantee we're going to be able to get a great free agent quarterback. And there's no guarantee that draft class is going to be great. And now we're going to be playing that game as you and me, you know, cover the team of who's going to be the quarterback. Is this person going to be good enough? Da-da-da-da-da. Are the Falcons set for a setback? And they're just trying to avoid all of that with the Michael Penix. They're just trying to be like, listen, when that day comes with Kurt, when Kurt moves on, we don't have to make any major moves. We don't have to make any major trades. We got our guy. We could just focus on continuing to build the roster out. That's a stress we don't have to worry about. And I think that's what they've done for themselves, is just eliminate that stress, eliminate the questions. Raheem clearly wants that position solidified. I mean, shoot, he hired four quarterback coaches, assistant coaches. That tells you how important he thinks that position is. And I think that's going to be really good for Penix, just because you may now have so many guys who you can work with you and develop you while you're waiting, whenever that time comes for him. So overall, you know, at first conflicted, but now I get it. I mean, I was a fan of Penix in this draft. I mean, obviously I get people have concerns with injuries, but you know, there's guys who had those injury concerns come in and play long careers, especially at quarterback. So it's something that I look forward to seeing the dynamic. I know people are going to – obviously the Falcons have set themselves up for continuous questions. They've set themselves up for continuous debate. Yeah. If I could see – if the Falcons had a great year and, like, they could sit guys, they could sit Kurt, and like, oh, we're going to see Michael Penix. If Michael Penix has a good game, oh, crap, this is going to fast forward everything. You know, yep. People are going to ask those questions. So that's just the only thing they have to deal with until that day comes. But overall, I'm better, and I feel good about Penix, and I feel good about what the direction is, even though I understand the questions behind maybe just not going ahead and getting a player that could help you more in the current season.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the debate that rages, especially if we do see the Falcons have a lot of success this year and they come up short. You know, people will be like, oh, well, and it's going to get worse. Of course, if like if Rome Odunze is like a 1,000-yard rookie, then it's like, oh, we could have had Rome. And if Laiatu Latu has 15 sacks, it's like, oh, we could have had 15 sacks. You know, so there's always going to be questions about it, and I think it's fair to question it. None of those questions are going to be answered this summer. So I know people, you know, there's a lot of arguments both sides, and I think both sides in this situation, you know, we're not both sidesers here, but I think in this situation, it's you can't really answer the question. So I think the arguments are compelling. It's definitely one of the more fascinating team building decisions that we've seen in recent memory. And that's one thing that I think you couldn't really call the Falcons the last couple of years fascinating, because they were sort of boring, you know, to be clear, if they're good, I don't care if they're boring. If they're just like boring good, like some of those Patriots teams where it's like, wow, this team's too dominant. You know, it's just not exciting anymore unless you're a Patriots fan. You know, I would love that. You know, if we could get that, that'd be perfectly fine. But if you're not going to be great, at least be interesting. And not saying that they can't still be great, but this team is compelling. You know, the way they're doing things is not the norm. And you brought up Raheem's philosophies. It's pretty clear, you know, from what we've heard a little bit more now about Raheem's pitch when he was going up for the full-time head coaching job back in 2021. And the core of his pitch was that we need to get a succession plan for Matt Ryan, and we have to do it right now. We can't wait. We have to get this succession plan right now. So in that case, you know, it makes total sense that would be the path that he wants to go on. And that's exactly what they did. So I guess maybe it shouldn't have been as shocking as it was, given that that is such an important, the quarterback position to Raheem is such a critical piece of the puzzle. And really it's a critical piece of the puzzle for every team, or it should be. And I think, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, that's one thing we're probably going to go back and look at in the Mike Smith years or Arthur Smith years. There's a lot of Smiths in this team, but Arthur Smith, the de-emphasis on quarterback was ultimately what got him fired, because, you know, they didn't invest much in the position. They kept trying to sort of get by with, you know, Marcus Mariota and Taylor Heinicke. He has these sort of like, you know, stopgap veteran signings. You know, with Heinicke, he was supposed to be more of a backup, but, you know, even that didn't work out super well. And then sort of putting all the eggs in the quarterback development basket with Desmond Ridder, but not really investing a premium pick in that, you know, going for Ridder, who was a mid-round guy. And I think we all saw Ritter's, you know, traits and you know, mentality and college tape. And we're like, okay, there might be something here. We might be able to squeeze like a league average quarterback out of Desmond Ridder. And maybe that would be enough, considering, you know, Arthur Smith's supposed to elevate the scheme and they've invested all this in the weapons. And it just never panned out, because, and you look at it too, you mentioned it, like, this staff under Raheem Morris is absolutely emphasizing the quarterback development more than like we've seen in many, many years. And with Arthur Smith, especially last year, you know, Dave Ragone had two hats where he was the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. And, you know, we did hear, of course, that TJ Yates was working with the quarterbacks too, even though he was the wide receivers coach. But it's like, you should really have like that. You should have an entire like wing of your building dedicated to the quarterbacks. You know, like, you know, maybe they should make like a, some kind of football virtual golf simulator room where they can just go throw to all the guys on their team with a big VR headset on, you know, whatever you can invest, whatever space age tech you want to do, like that. You can't throw too much money or resources at getting quarterback right.
Get a new training facility. Might as well invest in that too.
Right. Yeah. We're gonna show up there and there's going to be some kind of, you know, avatar-esque system for them to learn how to play quarterback. But you could just see the emphasis on quarterback, and you know, it seems kind of obvious. It's like, oh yeah, if you're a new head coach, you should emphasize the quarterback position. So maybe we shouldn't have been as surprised by these moves. It felt a little bit different, like for whatever reason, like this didn't feel like a typical rebuild or like a restart, even though it kind of was. I mean, they fired a coach, so that's a new regime coming in.
Yep.
But like Raheem, to his credit, I think he sat down, looked at the coaching staff and was like, this is not a teardown. Like that, like we don't need to cut and bring in my guys. It's like, actually, I like you. I like you. I like you. You guys have all done a great job. You guys can all stay. I'm just going to bring in a couple of my choice guys and we're going to shuffle some people around. And what do you know? TJ Yates is coaching quarterbacks now. What a surprise. The quarterbacks coaching quarterbacks. But
They said underrated move the offseason.
Right. So you see, these things all seem kind of obvious in hindsight, but you know, who am I to judge? I'm not the one, you know, actually out there getting heckled on the sidelines. But it's been an eventful offseason, obviously, and the Penix pick was sort of a turning point in terms of what we expected from this team. Because I think after the Kirk Cousins signing, everyone assumed like, okay, they're going all in to win with Cousins over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, because Cousins is 36. They paid him all this money. His contract gets exorbitant in 3 years. So this is our window, these next 2 years. And then they just sort of sat on their resources the rest of the free agency period. You know, they did obviously make a couple of signings, Darnell Mooney. They traded for Rondale Moore, you know, but they didn't do any restructures. They didn't do any extensions. They didn't really...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Make any cap space. They have the capacity, and I say this on every show just so people know, they have the capacity to probably make 30 to 40 million in cap space like that. Like, they don't have to do a whole lot. They can do simple restructures. They can extend AJ Terrell, you know. They can make a couple cuts here and there. They did one already with Ade Ogundeji. And they could have as much cap space as they want to go sign Justin Simmons and, you know, the top, they go get Calais Campbell and, you know, the top guys, the top cornerback that on the market that they like. They go get Steven Nelson, whatever you go. They could go like maximize this roster right now. And while they could still do that, you know, going into training camp or even after training camp, but you're kind of risking guys going at that point. They haven't. And I think you look at that, you look at the Penix pick at 8, which is, there's no more possible future focused pick you can make than a quarterback that's probably not going to play for 2 years, you know, outside of injury. But the plan is for him not to play essentially for 2 years, because you're hoping that your investment in Kirk Cousins has been a sound one. And then you take, you know, I would say a developmental defensive tackle in Ruka Roro, who he's developmental as a pass rusher. And he's obviously got a crazy high ceiling, but as a run defender, he can play. He's not necessarily, he can't get on the field, but more of a future focus pick there. And then you do also add in the fourth round, you know, Brandon Dorlus, also a guy that needs to work on, you know, probably getting bigger to play the interior full time. You do get Braylon Trice. Braylon Trice, I think, is an instant impact guy, but, you know, it seems like the draft and the lack of free agency. What's the right word? I don't know if it's like emphasis, or they haven't really pushed it. Like, they could push it a lot more than they have, and they haven't. So what is that sort of, what do you sort of draw from that? Do you think this is sort of the team really taking a more future focused approach, or is it just a patient approach? And there's a lot more moves forthcoming before training camp's going to happen.
I think this again is kind of going into this unusual, the way they're viewing things. The thing about this team is that, and this is the thing that, this is a lot of people said this last year, if Desmond was average, they'd probably be a playoff team, right? And so with that, I think that goes back to them having a lot of confidence in the roster. They feel like, listen, we got Kirk Cousins. If the defense can give us what they gave us last year and we can be better offensively, why wouldn't we win 10, 11 games just off of that alone? If it truly was that Desmond Ridder was holding us back, you know? And you would assume if Kirk Cousins can be what he was in some capacity especially under Kevin O'Connell, you're like, yeah, we should be good to go. We should be locked in to make the postseason. NFC South's not tough. Like, there's plenty of opportunity to be good this year, even with it. And I also think some of it is that I think, and I had, you know, Steve Weiss on my show a few weeks ago, and he mentioned this to me. He was like, if you think about what the Rams did, they believed in rookie pass rushers. They believed in some young players to get them where they needed to be. And it ended up working out for them. Because like, as a coach, you've got to believe in your developmental system. We can develop guys. You know, that's, you know, especially when you become a winning team. I say Kansas City has done an excellent job of this. They knew, okay, we're investing a lot of money into Patrick Mahomes. So there's going to be certain positions we can't invest a lot of money into, which has been pretty much running back, wide receiver, and corner. Because they believe if Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, wide receiver, they'll be fine. I mean, even if there's struggles, their receiving core wasn't that great this past year. They still won a Super Bowl. You know, running game, you can find guys fourth, fifth, sixth round. As long as they can fit what you want them to do, you can be fine. And then defensive back, they've been able to develop guys. And that's been working out. And I think Raheem's kind of looking at this team and saying, you know, we can develop guys. You know, I know the biggest thing has been opposite Jesse Bates, opposite A.J. Terrell. Those have been the two biggest questions defensively, and then obviously the pass rush. You know, Ebiketie, you know, I mean, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting what Jimmy Lake thinks of all these guys, just like in terms of what he thinks their thing is. But you would assume Ebiketie should be in line. He's probably maybe your best pass rusher that you have. And, you know, and I think a lot of people, especially the thing with him, is he didn't play a lot of snaps the first, like, 8 games. But people saw some of the production and said, well, if he played more snaps, I feel like he'd be more productive. So you feel good about him. I know D'Angelo Malone, I don't know what happened with him. Had some flashes his rookie year. Then I don't know if just Nielsen wasn't – that he didn't fit what Nielsen wanted to do. No clue with that. Like you said, Trice could be a guy. I think he was third in the country in pressures. So, you know, he has a bit of a pass rush package. You know, you got – listen, I said – people forget Caden Ellis with the Saints, I think, had 6.5 sacks before he came over. They may use him more as a pass rusher this year since they're going to have a 3-4. So they have a group of guys there who, even though it's not that one guy, you can see them having multiple dudes who can have like 6 sacks, 5 sacks, 7 sacks, you know. And then last year they had the most sacks they've had in like a while, you know.
they did, like 40. Yeah,
like we were crapping on the pass rush, but they had one of their best seasons a year ago. So even though it wasn't like fantastic, but like there were games where you actually, okay, the pass rush is kind of affecting the quarterback a little bit. Like they were able to get close. So from that perspective, I think that they're just relying again on that continued development. I think secondary is the same thing. Richie Grant, if you remember, Richie Grant, his second year wasn't bad. I think that's why we were like, oh, yeah, Richie Grant, 3-3. Yeah, he should be able to, you know, take another step. Jesse Bates next to him. Didn't work out, right? Well, the Falcons have had three defensive coordinators in 3 years now. So, Raheem may look at Richie and say, what did he do well with Pease, that Nielsen, that maybe he wasn't good? Maybe I said, like, Pease did a lot more zone defense, which kind of helped keep everything in front of him, where, like, Nielsen was like, okay, we may need some more man from you, especially guarding tight ends, and Richie struggled with that. So maybe Raheem's like, all right, we got to understand his strengths and weaknesses. And, like, because when he came out of UCL, people thought ball hawk, guy who could really, you know, end up being maybe a playmaker type. And he hasn't really been that, even though I think he was, like, tied for, like, interceptions, like, his second year on the team. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming they're thinking they can work with him. And then the same thing with the cornerback position. I know that's been the one that I think makes people the most nervous. Clark Phillips, obviously, a guy who, when we drafted him, people felt like it was a steal. Some people thought he could have been a day two corner.
Yeah.
His biggest thing is his height, right? That's his biggest concern. But in terms of skills, people think he has the skill. And some people think we'd be better at the nickel, but we have D. Alford there. So unless they felt like, unless they somehow come out and say, hey, let's give D. Alford a chance outside and move Clark inside. I mean, you know, but they may feel like, no, that's D's role. So and then you have Mike Hughes, which I know that's not the sexy pick, but, you know, that, I mean, that's
UCF legend. Not. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, hey, that is true. That is true. So, it's one of those things where I think I get the mindset of like we still should be good this year with some of the upgrades we've made. I believe they believe in their coaching. They believe that that will help improve some things, and then you know they also believe the players that they drafted could be impactful down the line. Because they're trying to have maintained success.
Yes.
Most teams, I think, nowadays are either you're rebuilding or you're winning when you have the short window and you need all your assets at it to go. And that's why you don't have as many teams outside like the Chiefs who have sustained winning. And I think that's literally what that Raheem and Terry want to do. Can we want to make sure we put ourselves in a position to sustain. Because if we go win now, that would require us to give up future assets, and then we're just hoping to God when that time comes, maybe we can survive it. But they're like, no, if there's a way we can still have players that we like that could step up in those years and then maintain still a good program and good coaching and get us there, especially with the quarterback position, if that ends up being solidified, I think that's what they're aiming for realistically with the mindset of just, you know, we can't just think everything about now. You know, we have to think about the future. They clearly are willing to give guys opportunities to show them that they can play. As much as sometimes us, we may see a guy say, we're done. I don't care what happens, get him off my team. But they, as a coach, it's different. You may come in there and say, listen, I don't feel like maybe they used him the best last year. I think we can use him better. And that could lead to more success for him. So, you know, and that could be what they would feel about some of these positions. And like I said, counting on development, maintain success of winning and just, you know, believing what they're trying to do, which I think Raheem, you can tell, high energy guy and really believes in what they're trying to build.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they clearly have a lot of faith in their coaching staff. I mean, I think that's obvious and that checks out with what Raheem's MO has been typically as well. I think they have the most faith in their secondary staff. You know, with Jerry Gray, who's just been around the block forever. Jimmy Lake also was kind of a secondary whisperer at Washington. That program produced so many elite defensive backs over the years. You know, Buda Baker's a great example. We have Kevin King back. You know, maybe there's a Kevin King renaissance coming from his old college Mr. coach.
Kevin
you know,
King, who, yeah. Signing it out.
Yeah. Oh man. What a world that would be if Kevin King's the CB2 week one, because he's just like become the Renaissance man. But, you know, speaking of bets on Bet Online, don't make that one, but, or you can make a lot of money, you know, maybe throw a five spot at it. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see because they definitely are taking a patient approach, particularly to free agency where they went out and got their guys that they wanted early. And they apparently were trying to be aggressive to get, you know, an edge rusher in particular, and that didn't work out. You know, they've tried to do that multiple times now and doesn't seem like it's ever quite worked out to get that edge rusher, which is painful for everyone that wants an edge rusher, but it's how it goes sometimes. I think that's one of Terry's things, right? Where he sets a number And he's not going to go over that number. He's like, this is what this player, this is the upper end of what they're worth to us. If they, you know, if they won't take this offer, then we're not going to mess up our free agency to go get this one player because it's about the team. And, you know, to his credit, I don't think he's signed a bad deal yet. Like, I don't think he's signed a bad free agent deal at this point. You know, I think we can say that, you know, the Heinicke deal was a little expensive, but they were able to negotiate him to take a massive pay cut. So, like, okay, that's fine, I guess. You know, I think obviously the trades for the receivers have not panned out yet, but maybe Rondale Moore is, you know, maybe that's the one that'll work out. And it's not like they were expensive trades either. We were talking day three picks, but we'll have to see because the defensive emphasis has not really been there. I mean, obviously in the draft, you get the huge influx of young defensive linemen, and hopefully those guys will be able to form the core of this defensive line going forward. You know, I don't know that Zion Logue's going to necessarily be able to crack the roster from day one, but I like his long-term potential, probably looking at him as your future nose tackle. Eddie Goldman's practicing. I mean, anything could happen, right?
Listen, if Eddie Goldman could be what he used to be, I mean, that's not us. I mean, at first, I remember the day we first saw when he didn't retire at first. Oh, man, that's a great pickup for Grady. And now it's like, ah, he's coming back. Oh, brother.
Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three or more times, Eddie Goldman, you know, at this point. But we do have footage of him practicing. I'm not sure we've ever gotten that before. So we've made it this far. We'll have to see if that ends up working out or not. But they've certainly made a big investment on the defensive line. I think people thought it would be more edge-focused. Instead, it's very interior-focused, which, if you know the Rams' defense, that's a pretty common thing for them, that they've really emphasized that interior defensive line. And, you know, getting to the best quarterbacks in this league, the pocket passers, it's interior pressure that is typically the way to do that. So, you know, if you can't make the edge rush good, maybe you can make the interior great. And I think they were on the cusp of having a great interior last year when Onyemata and Jarrett were playing together. I mean, that was a dominant duo. Unfortunately, both ended up getting hurt at one point, and then even more guys ended up getting hurt after that. So that was not great. So now they've thrown like four pickups at this offseason at the position alongside Jarrett and Onyemata. So hopefully we can have a great interior, and that should be able to help out everyone else. But the edge room is a little bit dire, you know, like you said, with the cornerbacks. I think it's pretty clear that they have a lot of faith in Clark Phillips. You know, and Antonio Hamilton, I think honestly that is a bit of an underrated signing. It was really affordable, and he was a starter. He was a starting CB2 for the Cardinals basically all last year. Solid, you know, not necessarily a guy you run out and do, you know, cartwheels for in terms of a starter, but solid player that held up all season on a defense that was getting hammered a lot. And that's not easy to do. So having him as like your primary depth corner, I think is pretty good. Like you're happy with that. You know, maybe we could still get something from Mike Hughes. It seems like the coaching staff really likes him. I personally think he played his best ball outside for the Chiefs. When he played for the Chiefs, he played outside. And, you know, I'm a big fan of D. Alford in the slot. I think D. Alford should be the slot starter. I can't believe they took him off the field. You know, it seems like that was because he was returning and then they needed to keep him fresh for returns or something. Like, you should have just taken him off returns because Nickel's way more important than your returner. Now we got Avery Williams and Ray Ray back there. We should be good to go in terms of the returns, but definitely love D. Alford. And maybe Mike Hughes has a chance. If they do give him a chance outside, he can live up to that Chiefs hype where he did have a really good season for the Chiefs that year. But yeah, to me, it comes back to Clark Phillips. And, you know, as a rookie corner, especially an undersized rookie corner that's getting baptized by fire, you know, by the Falcons, I think he held up well. Obviously it was very up and down, which is pretty common for rookie quarters, even good ones, like even highly drafted ones. Going to this zone defense, the Rams last year played, I think, over 60% zone, where it was basically the opposite for the Falcons last year. The Falcons were very man heavy. Going to that zone emphasis, you know, a lot of split safety, a lot of cover three. I think that's where Clark Phillips made his money in college. I mean, he was a great zone corner, didn't play a ton of man in college. And with his size disadvantage, the man coverage is something that he was always going to struggle with if he happened to get matched up with a bigger receiver. But his game was always predicated on his instincts, his ability to read the quarterback, to read the field and read and react quick and get his hands on footballs and stuff like that. So I do think that like the new defensive scheme, the new zone heavy focus is going to be good for him. So if that's the case, you know, maybe they're making a good bet by going with Clark Phillips there. I still think, you know, safety, like, can we trust Richie Grant? You know, another UCF legend. So it pains me, obviously, to slander my UCF legends. But, you know, I don't know if I could trust Richie Grant at this point to be a starter. You know,
there's DeMarco Helms in the fold.
Yeah,
so, too.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I mean, he came on last year a bit. And so it's like, is he in the mix?
He might be the starter because a lot of times if it's a Fangio defense or similar, which we kind of have to believe that it will be, the Fangio defense typically has a safety that plays the box and one that plays deep. Now they may do some rotating from time to time, but if they're going to have that more, you know, delineated safety look where one guy is going to be primarily deep and one guy is going to be more of a box enforcer, that could be a good setup. Cause obviously we know Jesse Bates can handle the deep stuff. He's very good at it. If DeMarco Helms is sort of stuck in the box and allowed to play the short area of the field and not asked to do too much, you know, deep coverage, he's probably going to be a good starter in that role. He's limited. You know, he doesn't have that high end athleticism. He doesn't necessarily have the deep speed or the range to cover that stuff, but you put him in the box. He's obviously a heavy hitter there and he's smart. Like he can play zone really well. He can match up with tight ends and stuff like that. But you know, you put him on fast receivers or anybody like that. He can't cover the ground necessarily back there. But, you know, I think that could be a path where it's like, okay, we're just going to have DeMarco Helms play the box in our two safety looks and just hopefully that emphasis will help him out. You know, I think they want Grant to take the next step. We all do, Richie, if you can hear me. Like, I still believe, you know, but we need to see it now. This is the time. It's contract year Richie Grant, you know, so maybe he'll just have a career season like a lot of guys end up doing. But I do think, like, adding another corner, adding another safety, maybe considering another edge rusher, but I don't even know who you'd get at this point. Maybe those are the areas that I would look to still tweak, you know, heading into training camp. But do you have any thoughts on sort of what sort of changes or additions you would still make as this team gets fired up and going for the season here?
I mean, I feel like I'd be fine with any addition to any of those spots. I could just see the team just going through the, let's see what we have. Let's let them get through camp. You know, and then we'll make some adjustments. Because we also have to, because, you know, you also think about it. Guys could get cut during camp, could be cut after camp. Obviously, it's a little different because if guys come in a week before you start playing games, that, you know, that's different. But yeah, that is an option. You could have a guy who gets cut and like, oh, let's bring him in, you know? So I think, you know, the Falcons are in an interesting situation with that in terms of just bringing, because it's like they're kind of operating like they're a playoff team that's a really good roster. Yeah, let's say you just got bounced, but like there's not a ton of changes you need to make. It's not like you're weak at a ton of spots. Because some people look at the Falcons roster and think there's not a lot of spots they're like weak at. Like, oh, this is really bad right here. And I think that's how they're kind of approaching it. Like, I don't think we're super weak at a lot of positions. I just think we have a lot of positions where it's like it's pending. Like this, like it's fine. It's not special. You know, do we need it to be a little bit better than fine? And you kind of go with that and just hope for the best. I mean, because offensively, you're thinking, okay, quarterback's legit, running back's legit, wide receiver. I know some people feel like we could still add one more. But again, I think that's just them believing in Darnell, believing in Rondell, believing in even, you know, Casey Washington has been playing decently in OTAs, you know, fourth, fifth receiver guys. You know, Kyle Pitts, expecting breakout year, Kyle Pitts, offensive line. That's the only question to me, I think.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
And I think that's more tackle positions, just because, you know, Jake is getting a little older. Caleb, we know how up and down he can be. So if they can be decent this year, I think offensive line, your side, because I think, you know, Perkins, yeah, it will be really good. I think Drew Dahlman, outside of the snap issues, was a really good center, like blocking wise last year. And then we know what Lindstrom is. So, you know, I think you just it's a lot of like, all right, we're hoping for the best here. So because I would not be surprised. He's talking about, you know, that future plan after quarterback. Like, all right, we'll get to next offseason. Do not be surprised if the Falcons tackles become a position that they're looking to address next year. Because eventually I would think at some point you got to get Jake Matthews, you know, next player up. I don't know if they're going to go to draft wise or they're just going to wait for him to croak. I mean, not croak, but
please no, please
not like that, but like retire
football wise, you know, he rides off into the sunset. You know, we'll say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then get his
he's 31. Okay. No.
You know, a little bit older in football. You feel like he's been playing forever, but
yes, it's true. I mean, he's been playing since 2014. Yes,
yeah, so exactly. I mean, yeah. He's been around, man. It's crazy how long guys play forever. It's like, man, he's still playing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's kind of like that. So I think that's big. And listen, I know even some people on the staff are excited about Captain America.
Yeah.
So I mean, people were like, oh, Troy Andersen, better watch out. Your job could be on the line. And you know, and listen, I think I'm very excited to see what they do with Troy, because I feel like with the type of system they're running, it could be very beneficial for him.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm very curious to know what that looks like whenever we get an idea and a plan of what the defense is going to look like. So definitely can make some additions for sure. Definitely can make some additions. It's just, like I said, just depends on timing when they feel like it's needed. Right now, they're just hiring a bunch of people to come in to compete. They're just like, hey, and maybe you get a gem like you did with the off, and you get a guy who's like, oh, he's. Yeah, I think he may be able to start competing for a legitimate job. So yeah,
Nate Landman, perfect example. You know,
exactly.
You're just like, oh wow, okay, you're like one of the best run defending linebackers in the NFL. Okay, great, we'll take that. Yeah, we'll accept
exactly.
that. Yep. So
a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, and there's a lot of time too. Like, I mean, obviously we're all trying to make content here. We're talking about, oh, what can they do? Why haven't they done this and that? They can sign guys literally, you know, up until and past week one. Like, this team is always in a state of potentially being improved. So, you know, we're talking about why haven't they made the moves yet? The moves could come, you know, and they could still put the pedal to the metal, do those restructures, extend Terrell, and sign all these veterans we've been talking about. And then it's like, oh, well, now it looks like they're trying to win now again. So this could all change, but we can only talk about what's currently happened. And what's currently happened is that they do seem to be trying to take this sustained winning approach. And you know, that'll open you up to like, oh, well, what if you did go all in? You know, this is the questions that Green Bay had to talk about all the time with Jordan Love, right? Well, what if you did go all in? How many Super Bowls would you have won with Aaron Rodgers? You know, all this. And, you know, to that, I would say, like, you know, that's probably a worthy conversation in February if the Falcons are relevant then. But let's, like, at this point, let's just get to relevancy. And then we can have the discussions about why we didn't do enough. But if we could just make the playoffs, that to me, I think, is the crux of this. Is like, they want this team to make the playoffs, but they don't necessarily want to break the bank or like mortgage their future to do it. But they know fans won't tolerate any more losing seasons. Like, and it's true. Like, I mean, it was, you could feel the apathy last year when this started to go downhill again. And it was like, oh man, people just don't care. And that's the worst thing you can do. You can have fans pissed off because the team's terrible, or you can have fans super excited because you're making the playoffs. But if you're in that mushy middle where no one gives a shit, you know, because you're not good enough to be interesting and you're not bad enough to be in contention for a top quarterback or any of those things, that's the worst place to be for a team. And I think they're committing to not being in that category again outside of some catastrophes happening, which you can never rule that out as a Falcons fan, that's for sure. But I think it's really interesting what they're doing at quarterback. We'll have to see how it pans out. It's going to be one of the most interesting storylines, at least over the next few years in the NFL. I mean, when was the last time you saw the Falcons this talked about at this time of year?
More primetime games. So finally, after zero the last two, outside unless you're counting Thursday Night Football. I mean, it depends on what you...
We didn't even get that last year. Yes.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. So,
yes, it'll be interesting. Some late night shows on the docket for us, I'm sure. But it's going to be an interesting season. I'm excited to see how it progresses into camp and into the preseason and on from there. But, you know, I think they've clearly staked their claim to we're going to be the best team in the NFC South, which maybe not the most impressive of claims, but it's a claim they couldn't make any of the last several years. So at least we can start there and then we'll see where this goes. But it's an exciting offseason. It's controversial, exciting, you know, what have you. It's fun. It's fun to talk about, and it's fun to talk about with you, Bryce, guys. He is at Brycey2K on the Twitters. Also the host of Believe in Hawks. If you're looking for that basketball fix, anything else, Bryce, you want to let people know about before we sign off?
No, not necessarily. I also do some Falcons content as well, so don't be surprised if y'all see Kevin on my channel in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bryce_2K if y'all want to follow, or Bryce2K if y'all want to go follow that, subscribe to that as well. Definitely trying to, you know, stay tapped in with what's everything happening. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Falcons moving forward as this offseason continues and we get closer to football season. It's like, all right, now we're about to start getting some questions answered. Overreactions are about to start. Can't wait for somebody to get cooked in one-on-one drills. And now we're like, cut them. It's the best time of the year.
Yes. Oh, man, it's amazing. We're going to get so many of those, I'm sure. I don't think we're going to get the who threw that questions this year.
Oh, yeah.
That was who threw that? Yeah, that was good times. But I'm sure we'll have our own training camp silliness to talk about this year. No questions there. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Dirty Birds and Brews. Please like, subscribe if you haven't done so already. Give us that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Check out the Patreon. Check out the channel memberships if you're interested in those. Exclusive perks, early access to shows, ad-limited shows, and the Patron Fantasy Leagues that we're going to be firing up probably in early July. So sign up anytime between now and then to get in on that action. I think we ended up running 3 leagues last year. It was a lot of fun. So good stuff there. We'll, of course, have plenty more coming your way on thefalcoholic.com. And stay tuned. We're entering the dead zone soon. You know, we got rookie mini camp in a couple weeks, and that's, or full mini camp. We already had rookie mini camp, and that'll be it for a long time. So we're gonna get you through, though. You can always come here. I know Bryce will be doing stuff as well on his channel to get those dead zone Falcons takes, and we'll be here for you guys. At least there is interesting stuff around the Falcons this year to talk about, so we should be able to at least get you some crumbs, you know, on the way. But again, thank you guys for watching. Thanks again to Bryce for joining me today. We'll be back with a couple shows next week for you guys. No Wednesday show because I will be on vacation. Nailed it. But we will have a couple of recorded shows for you, and then we'll be back to our usual schedule after that. But until then, guys, thanks again for watching Dirty Birds and Brews. We'll see you next time. Have a great day, folks.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.